My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tone, I was always told it was the coach's fault. Rodney McLeod was on with us yesterday, and we asked him about penalties, and I'm going to busk for a minute because I accidentally just sprung that up on Owen because we've been a little bit... Oh, poor Owen had a flat on the way in today, so we've been thrown off by a lot of things today. Not that you find folks out there care, but I do because I care about Owen, and I care about what goes on in his life. So we were a little bit thrown into a tizzy, but we have Owen now. And Rodney McLeod yesterday had spoken, we had asked him a question about the penalties. And Rodney McLeod had spoken to us, Tone. And you remember what he was talking about with the penalties, where he put it on the players. He didn't put it on the coaches. Hit it.
That is a player ownership, right? Like we are the ones that line up, that bring all the plays to life. And we hold a responsibility to ensure that we do our job and we don't hurt the team.
So what do you think, Tone? Is it more on the players or on the coaches?
Yeah, I've always thought this was definitely on the players. I think it's something that a lot of fans,
wow,
they grasp at when they're looking for more support behind why they hate a coach or why they don't like a coach or why they want a coach fired or why they want to blame a coach for a loss. And they'll just simply look at the penalties. And I've been guilty of it. That first game in 2019 against Tennessee, what did we have? 16 penalties, 17 penalties?
I think it was 17 they were called, but they really had 19 or something.
Yeah, we looked like the most undisciplined team in the history of football. And now, as it turns out, that year, I think you can understand. Like, there might not have been the attention to detail. But the reality is, you know, there are different types of penalties. Like, you could have a team that has a number of penalties associated with, like, losing your composure. Kind of like we saw Ja'Marr Chase and the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, the Bengals clearly have no control over Ja'Marr Chase right now. And that you know, you can look at that, and do you think that's a player issue or do you think that is a coaching issue? You know, when the Browns had all those holding penalties, I told Ken, I'm like, yeah, maybe they just didn't want to get Deshaun Watson killed. They were all pretty blatant holds. Maybe they coach him to, hey, don't get our quarterback killed. Well, that's good coaching, right? That's not bad coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not all of a sudden, well, we don't understand, you know, the fundamentals or the mechanics. I mean, some of these are veteran players committing these holds. Maybe that reverts us to a conversation about, you know, the difference in offensive line coaches. Either way, I've never been one to go after the coaches on most of these. Now, I know there were a number of illegal procedure and, you know, alignment penalties, and they changed the rules over last year, and I think you've seen a ton of these around the NFL. Like, if they don't get those fixed by week four, all right, now I'm going to ding the coaches on that. But up until then, no, I'm going with players.
So you're going to put it on the play? See, because I've always heard in just about every situation that it was on coaching, but I, to be honest with you, Tone, I've always heard it from players, former players, who have put it on the coaching, and I thought it was kind of a cop-out, but I mean, you're right. Like, if a guy has a block in the back, do I coach him to have a block in the back? Do we need to go over blocks in the back and how they're not supposed to be done? You know, is there anything like that? Like, that I'm not sure. So I'm a little bit torn because, I mean, you had double-digit penalties, what, 11 or 10 in week one. You had 12 in week two, which I thought that the number would come down and actually went up by one. You know, this week it's going to have to be cleaned up. I know it's only Wednesday, but, I mean, you're going to have to play a clean sheet against a bad football team to make sure that you get out there the way you want. Because I think a lot of folks, I don't know what the spread is. It's a pro football game, but I want to be relatively comfortable in the fourth quarter, I'd hope. 6.5, that's right. I want to be kind of relatively comfortable in the fourth quarter. I mean, if we have a two-possession lead in the fourth quarter, I know what happened against the Jets a couple of years ago, but I still want to feel relatively at ease in the fourth quarter there. And I think the penalty part of it, Tone, is one piece to it where, man, we could look a lot better and feel a lot better if we win and certainly clean up the penalties.
Yeah, I think some of it's luck. And, hey, every game you're going to have Myles Garrett jump off sides once or twice.
That's
is that bad
happen.
Coaching? Of course not. It's having a great a dominant pass rusher who is trying to time the snap and does so often that I'm never going to ding Myles Garrett for jumping off sides once or twice a game. I'm just not. Am I wrong on that?
No, I don't think you are because, if you're playing to a Pro Bowl, All-Pro, and defensive MVP level or, you know, defensive player of the year level, I think that, yeah, you can get away with one. Hopefully not two a game, but I think you can get away with one, except when it happens on third and short.
Matters.
Yeah, well,
I know exactly. We all know why he's doing it. He's trying to get the maximum amount of pressure on the quarterback as possible, right? But he also has to know, like, it's fourth quarter. We're in third and eight.
Well, he also knows.
Here.
I mean, and you see the way that these guys are.
I mean, he won player of the year.
And I don't. And we watch so much more Browns football than others. So I assume that there's other guys who have this happen to them as well. I'd like to see where TJ Watt is on this. Because you see the way that these guys set up. Remember, this is one of the things. We're going to get. This is a little nitty gritty here. But you remember the illegal formation. Guys being a little bit too far in the backfield, not enough guys on the line of scrimmage because their sets are so deep because they're cheating. Who's the guy from the Chiefs that escapes my memory right off the day? It's escaping all of us.
That does it every time?
The right tackle for the Chiefs that seems to do it every time to where he's almost timed it up where I think his timing's good, but I do think there are times where he's jumping, he is having a false start. Based on how quickly he's trying to time it up because he's trying to get a head start.
Jawan Taylor,
thank you. Because these are sensational athletes going against each other. So it really is. It's when Kevin Stefanski says it's not a marathon, it's a series of sprints. It's right, and this is a sprint. And one guy's got to move backwards, which is very difficult. And the other guy's got to move forwards, but he's got to time it up, which is difficult in his own right. So I can accept it to a certain level with Myles Garrett. But some of the other penalties, I don't know what I'm supposed to work up about a holding penalty, but the illegal formations, the illegal shifts, that's enough to boil your blood. I mean, we got to go over some of that stuff as a football team. And so, I don't want to sit there and go, well, it's on coaching. Well, it's only coaching. I think you're right. I think if you're mad at coaches, you look at that as another reason to get upset with coaches. But I do think that if you're not a good football team, and you have those penalties, it gets very sloppy, and then you have a Freddie Kitchens situation where, I don't think you went over any of that stuff.
Do you feel like you have the team right now that can overcome penalties like that? Because you asked me who the tackle was, and I'm a huge Chiefs fan. I don't know his name because I don't worry about when he gets a...
Ask me that question again at the beginning.
Do you think you have the team that can overcome penalties?
Right now?
Yes.
Not against good teams.
Because that's how
not
I
against
feel
good
as
teams.
A Chiefs fan. I don't really know Jawan Taylor's name offhand. I had to go look it up to make sure I was right. Because I don't worry about him getting a 5-yard penalty or 2 5-yard penalties because there's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, yeah.
And he's going to overcome it.
And against good teams, I don't think that we can do that right now. I hope that eventually we can, but we don't have Patrick Mahomes. So maybe halfway through the year we can, and I think
that
we've had teams.
I think that looking at the coaches plays more of an emphasis for fans because they're going, hey, we don't have the stuff to overcome this. Being in third and 15 as opposed to third and 10.
And I think the coaches, they're already
either
probably...
Either one of them is not great.
Exactly. But. And I think they're probably already at the facility, but if they were listening to this, they'd have to agree. Is that right now, no coaching staff is just fine with penalties. The old stuff about the Raiders and things like that, I think that's just romanticism. I think that if you believe you have a team that can overcome them, you can accept them to a certain level, but even then, it makes you upset. I don't think anybody out there feels that as of right now, we have a team that can overcome those type of penalties against good football teams. You commit 11 penalties or 12 penalties against Philadelphia, I think you're going to be in big trouble. Or even Cincinnati, which I got to talk to Rapine about this, or Mo Egger about this coming up at 8, because I think that Cincinnati is not dead at 0-2. The Ravens, the same thing. The Chargers are going to be technically sound in that level. I know they're off to a good start and they don't have that many weapons, but I'm still going to put them to that level. You can't go out there and commit those penalties. And I think that as you get older, Tone, if it were high school or college, maybe I do go over some of the stuff with the coaches. This is part of what you get paid for, isn't it?
Well, the other part I wonder, and we have no idea right now, it's still too early in the season, how much is Ken Dorsey, how much authority, autonomy right now does Ken Dorsey have over the entire offense?
I don't know. That looked like a pretty big Kevin Stefanski offense to me on Sunday.
Well, it did to me too, but I'm talking about from the – if you were to go to practice and watch the coaching of the offense right now and you were there for the entire period, is Ken Dorsey getting the same time as Alex Van Pelt, the same authority? Is he getting more?
Probably has more.
Is he getting less?
Probably has more.
You know, it's impossible to say. We're not really hearing a lot about that. We're just all assuming based on how it looks. Yeah, it's Kevin Stefanski. But, you know, when we talk about attention to details, is Kevin Stefanski roaming around practice a little bit more, checking in on the defense, checking in on the special teams, and giving Ken Dorsey these periods? And is that any more, any less, or the exact same as Van Pelt? So we're inclined to just go after the head coach, right, for all those attention to detail things, all the offensive things, because Stefanski's been here, two-time coach of the year. It's his football team. Nobody debates that. And from the looks of it, it was, again, back to the Kevin Stefanski offense. It wasn't any more wide open or spread them out more than what we've seen in years past. So it just leads us to wonder, I don't know, kind of looks like Stefanski's deal. What is Ken Dorsey actually doing? I have no idea.
All right, you love both the Guardians. You love the Browns. I know you love both. All right, well, you don't always like them. You don't always like, especially after Miles Straw got picked off last night. Which somebody did tweet, I don't understand the case of booing. I say boo. They're professional athletes. Boo. Boo all you want. Boo to your heart's content. You want to, I mean, as long as it makes sense, if you're up by 15 and all of a sudden someone strikes out and you start booing, well, you just look like an ass. But yeah, boo. That's fine. I don't agree with anything else being said. I don't want you to get personal with it or anything like that. I think that that's just going to get you thrown out of a game. But it's they're there to entertain you. Boo. I'm sick and tired. If you care about players more than certain other players, God bless you.
May
but
I
think
the
we've
case?
Drawn a line in the sand. Boo their asses off. I don't care.
As a person who was there and was booing, the reason that at least the people around me were booing was he was sent into the game to do one thing, and that was steal the bases and get around.
And then
right?
he got picked off.
We've got to score runs.
Yeah.
And the guy they pulled him out for is one of the hottest hitters that we have right now, in Manzardo, who just won the game.
Oh, and
for
that
us.
You hit on it. You hit on it. That knowing that you're not going to see Manzardo the rest of the game, even if it's good situational baseball, to have somebody with good wheels, you know, on the bases. I think that is what ignited the fire with the fans last night.
It was not good out in right field, I'll tell you that.
He's getting paid $4.9 million, and somebody highlighted to me they are on the hook for him for like another 2 years.
Yeah.
Do you think about that, what it
Who
would be like
to be making... thought that was a good signing?
To be making that kind of money and spend
Miles
your
Straw,
whole
dude.
Season in the minors, what that would be like? Knowing that... You've got these other up-and-comers. The people that go to the minor league games are not there to see Miles Straw, and he's making that kind of money. And then do you wonder if he gets hit up a lot for cash from some of the other guys?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's changed a little bit in how the minor league pay structure is from, especially, Ken, you were down there in the minors, and you know when these guys came back on rehab stints and what they had to do.
Well, I've told the story. Kerry Wood famously spent thousands of dollars on us for a He has to have a world record for the largest Cracker Barrel gift card ever put on a gift card. Like, the size of the gift card is still the same gift card, but
they
I think
give you a ceremonial.
Some said
3x5.
I know
gift
it
card.
Was at least $5,000 on a gift card for Cracker Barrel. Some say
when it's that much money, Kenny, it should be like the checks they give you for the charity events.
Yes. Some say it was the legend has it. Some people say it was $10,000. I think it was $5,000. Either way, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of chicken and dumplings. But Owen's right. Usually, like when a guy, but that's only for a rehab start. I mean, if you're there every day and it's just part of your life, I don't know. And I was down there when guys were making. There were definitely guys who were first round picks who had their luxury automobiles and some very nice vehicles and things
at
like that.
Time, no, there were guys in the minor leagues that were making less than a lot of guys listening to this show.
A lot of part time guys.
Yeah,
listen to the show.
Yeah.
There might be some high school kids, depending on what they're doing on YouTube and things like that, with their unboxing and things, that might be making a hell of a lot more than some of those players. I mean, for the four or five really nice vehicles in that player's lot that was parked next to my old Silverado, there were some beat-ass old Buicks that were definitely hand-me-downs from grandmas who gave them to their grandsons to sell weed out of in the late 90s and early 2000s, and then ended
reckless
up they bought them for $600. Oh, sorry.
I want to add to this.
You never sold weed out of an old Buick LeSabre?
Mine was a Dodge Dynasty.
Cast the first stone. Thank you. Cast the first stone. Go ahead, Tone.
I want to add to this. I mean, in 123 games this year in the International League, he is batting .240, and he has hit, Kenny, how many home runs?
Who? Miles Straw?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I ain't looking at his stats in the International
League.
The answer
is three. The answer is three, and the reason I bring this up is when the other guys, you know, they all know what each other's making. They can act like they don't. They do, especially the guys that cannot believe that he has been in the majors and they haven't got a shot, and they are sizing up the money. And then they're sitting next to them every day going, how did he get those opportunities?
Yeah.
How did it happen? And it discourages them, and it probably knocks them so – they're so psychologically snake-bitten by seeing guys like that around the minors that got their chance, and they feel like they never got their chance. It's got to be very frustrating.
Yeah, probably it is frustrating to them, but I still think of this in the long run there. They got to take care of their own business. I can't just go counting Miles Straw's pockets. It's frustrating for me that Miles Straw makes that amount of money. And it's not like if we were in New York and we were like Mets fans, they got all the money in the world. I don't fault Miles Straw for making the money. I really don't fault Miles Straw for making the money in the first place. It's the American way. Go right on ahead. But I'm upset at who gave him the money, because why of our very, very, very limited resources do we spend any of that money on Miles Straw? Why would you do something like that? What told you to do something so reckless?
Here's why this is so different, though.
I wanted to do something completely different, and now we're bitching about Miles Straw, which is therapeutic, so go right on ahead.
What I'm saying is this has got to be...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So amazingly different. Like, we understand they're professionals. Professionals make a lot of money in the professional sports, but not in the minors. And it would be like, Kenny, if all of us were going to the radio station every day and, I know Ken makes this much money. I know Owen makes this much money. Mitch makes this much money. And then here is some other guy that was in New York one day, had been on national radio, and we knew that he was making $4.9 million this year. And then did terrible radio every day. We would be incensed.
Yeah,
we would hate that guy.
Of course. You and I would feel that way. We have felt that way about people before. But it's still, like, I still have, and you and I, okay, if we want to pull back curtains here, you and I have had these discussions about other guys. And I've told you a million times, and you've agreed that the only thing you can do is focus on your own work. So I can be as pissed as I want to be with Miles Straw, but I still have to stand in the box and rake my own so I can go ahead and make my own. I can't do that. I can't fault the Guardians. I could be upset with the Guardians and think that it's a waste of their resources if I were a player in their system to say, why can't you give me that money? I'm a way better player than Miles Straw. But that's up to me to make that difference or let anybody else see me to make that difference.
John Kinsey Noel, who, you know, is a minor leaguer.
I'd much rather give right now that money that Miles Straw makes to John Kinsey Noel.
We should transfer the money over.
We should be allowed to do that. A one-time unilateral, they have no say in it, transfer of cash.
I am willing to put on a ski mask.
What country are we living in?
No, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to do that.
I got a Reagan mask.
I'm not going to do all that. We should dress up as Elvis impersonators and
jump out of an airplane.
Go ahead.
Let's go.
Go ahead, Tone.
Here is the gut question I want from any fan, especially those that were booing yesterday. Miles Straw, they want him up for his speed. They want him up for his defense. Will he impact a playoff game on a positive this year?
I was going to say Michael Martinez impacted the playoff game one.
Okay, well.
He had speed and defense.
I certainly hope so, because the only other reason I could say for him being up here is that they're going to get their money's worth, that we're paying, like, somebody looks and goes, we're paying him $4.9 million, which I got it wrong. I said $4 million earlier. It's actually $900,000 more than that. We're paying him $4.9 million to play in Columbus. Is that what we're doing? We're going to bring him up as soon as we possibly can. And so they brought him up as soon as they possibly could, which technically wasn't even like a September call-up or anything, because Stephen Kwan's banged up. So now I got to bring this guy up here because he's fast. Whatever. I don't care how fast he is. If he can't really do what's necessary to get on base other than be a pitch runner,
Him to be a little bit faster returning
guys,
to first base.
I thought I saw Travis Freeman play just as fine out in center field as I did Miles Straw. And if anybody has a problem with that, fine. I think a lot of people agree with me. You nodded your head at me, Owen. I know Tone can't see it right now. I thought I saw Tyler Freeman, who had, what, no experience before spring training?
No, he was a shortstop, yeah.
Okay, so I saw a guy who had no experience in center field before play just as well.
There's a reason that he started the year in center field and Miles Straw started the year in Columbus.
Exactly. It's garbage all the way around. And you have the one chance to start building it back up, and you immediately let it go when we really want to seal the deal and put this thing away. Because there is this situation that's looming, and this needs to be mentioned too. At the end of next week, who do we have, Owen?
We've got the Astros to end the season.
And
here,
we're
guys.
In some weird Mexican standoff now with this season where You got this has to be explained, because I walked into an argument with you and Andy. I'll try to be as open about it as I can. Let everybody jump into this. If you beat Houston, what does that do for Houston?
Well, there's a possibility, and we've mentioned for a few weeks now, Houston's the hottest team in the AL. They have been, and it's partly because they started off so horribly, yeah. Right? So they have the room to be good here at the end and make an impact. You have five more wins than the Astros right now. If that's down to three more wins than the Astros and they come into town with second place in the American League on the line, you better believe they're treating it like a playoff. You have to treat it like a playoff now, because it's the difference between a first round bye in the wild card round or being in the already in the divisional series and not using any of your pitchers. So it's a playoff that it's not. It's a dry playoff run. Not that I necessarily want to be in that situation, but I don't think it's the worst thing for, after seeing especially last night and a decision that, you know, I understand why you put the faster guy out there, but taking out one of the lineup,
yeah,
to put the faster guy out there, if we are down to three games left against the team that might take that position away from us, are you making that same call, you know, there? I think we need a dry playoff run, and the Astros are coming to town to end the season.
Let me try to make it real quick on the Astros. It's like I'm not going to be and bring on the Yankees mode. It's the one team I really don't want to see. I really want to avoid them.
See him 2 weeks after that.
And eventually, we're going to have to confront our demons. I understand
it's
that.
It's either them or the Yankees.
I almost
You're
look
draw
at it.
One of them.
I look at it in the same way, where a lot of people like Mike and Collinwood earlier this week calling in about the third down situation.
Play calling, yeah.
And I understand what Mike is saying. That's why I'm not going to sit there and call Mike a dummy, because Mike knows ball, and I'm not going to hang up on him and give him sweet chin music or anything like that. I respect his opinion. There were plenty of people who disagreed with me. I respected their opinion about it. It's just a different way of thinking. So you could say, Ken, I understand you trying to get the first down because it's the only way to get the first down, but they don't trust the quarterback is what that fan is really saying. For me, I understand what Steven Vogt is trying to do. I don't trust the guy he's putting out there. I don't trust the guy he's putting out there. Because in the same vein as what Terry Francona was saying about Angel Hernandez, why does this always seem to happen when you're here? And that's the way it seems to be. Frank in Gates Mills, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning. Why are you guys picking up Miles Straw? He's out there trying. I mean, so, yeah, it was a bad contract that the Indians
signed. Well, I'm glad he's out there trying. I'm glad he's giving his effort. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, the Guardians signed a contract that had he turned his bat around and become a good batter, and he hasn't, I agree with that, you guys would be sitting there talking about how great of a signing it was, because you signed him to a long-term deal when he was young, like we've done with some of our other young players.
Yeah, but he didn't. But he didn't.
But he didn't. He didn't do
now.
That. He didn't do any of that.
A lot of what ifs
right
here.
Right. Not yet. Are they going to get rid of him?
It's middle September.
No,
they're in the playoffs in 2 weeks.
No, they're not going to get rid of him.
I'm not talking about the playoffs right now. I'm talking about sometime in the future. Do you have any sense that Miles Straw might be a good player for the Guardians?
No.
So they're going to get rid of him.
They might hold on to him just because of the money that they're giving him,
and because he might figure out how to bat.
You might not make it through this phone call.
I might. Well, I don't know. I didn't need for that to happen.
There's a lot of what ifs. We're past
I think we can get down to Columbus and start to work on things, and then maybe we'll give him a shot if he can first turn it around, I don't know, in the International League.
He had the whole season to figure it out down in the International League, and he obviously didn't make it through there and get called back up in July and
I
make
might
an impact on this
be able to get my weight under control. I might be able to get over the fact that my wife went into Snoop Dogg's tour bus and I really don't know what happened in that day that night. But you know what? It hasn't happened before and it probably ain't going to happen in the future on either one of those situations. So me and my insecurities and Miles Straw sucking up the room with the Cleveland Guardians is probably going to continue.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
So we were going to do something today, and I got to tell you, I'm going to plant a seed for you guys. I need you guys to tell me whether or not I can or can't. It's about Owen sending his or taking his kids out of school tomorrow, and I have to recuse myself because it's over day baseball, and I want to recuse myself from it because I respect Owen too much. I'm like, I don't want to tell him.
Last day game of the year tomorrow.
Last day game of the year. I don't want to tell him what to do with his boys. However, Tone, something happened with Owen today. Take it away.
And this is the difference between Owen and I think what is a growing percentage of the United States population, especially this younger generation. Owen got a flat tire on the freeway and in what is a pretty, I don't know the lighting situation there. It depends on where you are, but it can be daunting. I think morning cars whizzing by you. You pull off to the side and change a tire effectively. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Owen got it done.
Here we go.
Owen pulled it off.
I mean, he was
made
a mechanic
it in record
Air Force.
Time.
I would hope he'd be able to, and he's able to.
So I immediately thought of Mitch. I'm like, there's no chance Mitch could have pulled that off. There is zero chance, 0.0% chance Mitch could have pulled that off. Mitch, could you have done it?
I've actually changed my own tire before, yes. Thank you.
Boom. Okay. There's a difference between changing a tire in, you know, or next to your, you know, at home, out there in, what is it called, Kenny? What do you call
Mitch's
hometown? Yeah, there's
a big difference. Yeah.
Guys, when the bullets are flying, when you are in the middle of rush hour and being able to pull that off, I think Mitch is calling a 1-800 number to get that done.
What do you got, Mitch?
Calling AAA.
There's no shame, but you know you would have been 3 hours late most likely. And what time did you get in? That was an incredible pit stop.
I got in at the very end of the first segment. Yeah,
I was amazed. I was blown away, and I do think we have a problem in this country. I think changing your own tire should be taught. I know we have big debates online about what we should teach our kids, when we should teach them. Should the state be able to have this kind of autonomy over our kids' brains? No, you need to be able to teach this in school.
Well, there is. Who's that football coach? There's a high school football coach who once a week would teach kids like life lessons. Like there was video of him teaching them how to change a tire, check oil, things like that. So they took time out of football practice to teach them that, which I thought that was really, really cool. So, Mitch, you do not know how to change a tire at all?
Yes, I do know how to change a tire.
Okay,
I've never
done
it at night or near the highway like Owen did this morning.
So you would call AAA?
I mean, just for
that's fair.
My
whatever.
Safest bet, yeah.
Your safety,
it probably would have been safer to call AAA, but I don't do that. I mean, I've remodeled my own home.
Oh, he's a man's
man. I'm too frugal to do things
so
like that.
So is this show the last generation of people who know how to change their tire?
Maybe. I'm in my early 40s.
I don't know how it's
I absolutely think that this is going the way of the dodo bird, Kenny. There's no way, first of all, I think they'd advise against changing your tire on the freeway to begin with.
Oh, yes.
From a safety
Absolutely.
Standpoint. I mean, you didn't put out any cones or lights, right?
I didn't have flares, none of that. I had my hazards on. Now, I did have, because we live in Northeast Ohio, my tire was a little stuck to the wheel, to the rotor, right? So
that happens.
I had to get my wife to bring me a pry bar. But I used the jack from my car, which I never use. Normally at home, I've got my big, 3-ton floor jack that it's 2 or 3. It's the NASCAR pit crew. I'm giving it a couple pumps and the car's in the air.
That's awesome.
This was it's a screw it to get it higher type of jack. It was not the funnest thing this morning.
The only thing I will admit I struggle with, because I don't change tires often, is where to place the jack. For whatever reason, I get very nervous about that. Because obviously,
you're putting a vehicle
up in the air. But I don't understand how anybody has problems changing a tire. It's pretty self-explanatory, is it not?
As a person that just did it, would advise most people, don't do it unless you're A, confident, or B, too cheap to pay somebody, or if you're me, you're both.
Well, you got to know what you're doing, but I still don't understand how no one would know. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Something that I think, we didn't have shop at my school, but there was Votech, which was, here, at least at our school, they go out to Wellington, I think, or Overland, and they do services, JVS out
we
there,
drag.
And they can do those type of things and all that. And so there is that opportunity that way, but for the most, I did driver's ed at school during fourth period.
We didn't do that.
And they taught me then how to, they made sure that I knew how to do all this stuff. Oh, kids, that was all part of
kids
it.
Kids driving is a totally different subject into itself.
Believe me, we just paid. I have two drivers at home and two more that are getting ready to get permits not too long from now.
I think there's plenty of dads out there that are pretty jealous of you because their kids won't even learn how to drive. I cannot tell you how countless amount of they're like, nope, they don't want to learn. They won't do it. I'm like, well,
damn it. Yeah, because then they'd have to. Then they'd have to actually go to work when you don't have a vehicle or when you don't have a driver's license. That's part of the issue.
Newt Tone now is did, in.
Now, wow. This is a new me.
Yeah.
This is an old line.
Anthony Hannity.
I did look up just because you were wondering about the jack and where to put it. It's obviously very important because I conferred with my friends over at J.D. Power and their esteemed associates.
Mm.
Wow. The average vehicle now with everybody driving – you know, the big trucks and the big SUVs, you know, they can be in upwards of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 pounds.
They're heavy.
You better know where to put that jack. That's going to hurt your toes.
Yeah, you got heavy things that you have to move there. Josh in Grand River, really quick, go.
So as a mechanic in the auto industry, they have stripped those programs out of certain schools and told kids, as long as you have money to pay for it, somebody else will come and provide that service.
Guess what I don't have, Josh?
What's that?
Money.
To pay for it.
Well, that's I totally get that. My stepson is 9 years old, and at 9 years old, he was in the garage with me doing oil changes and tire rotations on my vehicle because having those skills, you don't have to pay somebody
Josh,
at the end.
I mean, you are speaking to a true problem in our country that I wish I had more time to get into. What you are saying right now, Josh, I totally agree with you, by the way. I totally 100% think that we are aligned with each other. Thank you very much for the call,
Josh. Thank you,
Josh.
I'll tell you guys, I built a floating deck in the backyard this summer. My 10-year-old and 12-year-old were out there with me. I'm like, you're going to help. And at one point, I had them cutting the boards with the saw, and they both looked at me like, are you a crazy man for letting me operate this thing? I said, you got it. Like, take your time. You're good.
I want to know how.
I'm hoping that turns into them being able to be self-sufficient in other areas.
It's 3 million skilled labor jobs that are open right now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I had
how much numbers in front of you, Lima?
I had how much in student loans? Who was the fool there? Who was the fool in high school?
The only job situation I have in front of me is Springfield, Ohio. That's all I have right now.
216-474-0092. Lima's going to be a dog catcher.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.